I've had a bit of text, and you might not receive the fact that you went silver. At this time, I wish to acknowledge the presence of Honorable Senator Green, Barton, and Representative Rivers. They are in attendance with us this morning. Now, I have a further announcement to make that the donation for Brother Jack Close have amounted to $276.38, and they are still coming in. At this particular time, I wish to acknowledge the donation from Bob Reeves out of Compton, the American Legion, Stuart. There are too many other names I cannot make time to name everyone. But we do thank all the donors and the community, too, for their generosity. I was up to see Jack this morning, and he's getting along in very good shape. And the guy here doesn't look any different than what he does around home. The gentleman's 92, and he's got his bones right up there in the hospital, so anybody want to go up and hear what he's got there. So, looking at him this morning, I was just thinking to myself, see, Jack, 92, remembering Quivers' old poem, if I should live to be the last leaf upon the tree in spring, gee, if I can have a character and the gratitude and the patience. Jack Close, when I get to be 92 or 93 years, then I'll be a wonderful. Now I have more announcements that our good friend Max McGilvery got his coat back, and the Sam Young got his hat back, and Mrs. Gore also bought my pants back. Now, there's one thing I don't want you to forget. You had your program, but I want to call it your attention now. At 7 p.m. is a banquet at the Seward Grade School. I didn't know just what a grade school was, but seeing my fairly early practice in Alaska, we had World War I. And one time I had prepped for Annapolis, and after passing the mental examinations, I got busted on my thighs. But I was used to the water. While I couldn't get in the Army or the Navy, my people were all water people. So I went down to Portland, Oregon, and shipped before the mast. I was a merchant seaman working up. I remember one time we were, that's when I was an officer, we were in Manila. See, under the good law of the United States, we have what is called the Destitute Seaman's Act. The seamen are destitute from a foreign port. The consul gets them back home, generally on any American ship that's available there. We were there, and those two young fellows, they weren't Man Harbor, they were more or less kids. No particular work that they could do, or education they had for that vocation. But of course, in those days, you took anybody to go aboard a ship, you'd take them as a sailor. Well, these kids weren't, but they had jumped ship on this previous ship while it was in Manila. And we were going to take them back to San Francisco. So here they came down. He said, one of them said, we're the free Catholic seamen. Where do we? So, remembering that Mrs. Thor and I went out this morning to find out where the Silver Grace School was, so I could know where to eat. Now, if you remember the other day in my report, I mentioned a suggestion, or gave a suggestion, that we should have an assistant historian to assist Dr. Chase to give work. Now, I think it's very, very vital. Dr. Chase, as you know, wonderful pioneer. He's historian for life. Now, he realized, of course, as time gone on, he's not quite able to do everything he wants to do, as he said in his report. And he might be obliged to resign. Now, Dr. Chase is the only lifelong officer we have. So I was thinking that if he had an assistant, that he would still remain as our lifetime historian. And that is why I made the suggestion as I did the other day. Now I'm going to ask from the motion you made from the floor that the next grand president have authority to appoint an assistant to Dr. Chase, the historian, the assistant historian. I'll entertain that motion if anybody's going to make it.
Fairbanks, you do number four, second the motion.
You've heard the motion made, second. Are you ready for the question?
Quick.
All in favor, vote for the usual sign. Opposed, same sign. The motion's carried, so ordered. And Carl, that's one of the other things you're going to have to do just when you take my place up here. You know, I'm going to be sorry to lose this, Jim. I've had a wonderful time up here. Thanks to all the patience, the cooperation that you've given me. But we can't have any more life officers except Dr. Chase, so I'll have to give that to my part. And let Carl do the work. Do we have any more resolution that we should hold on? Thank you very much, and I'll charge the committee with very, very good facts. You didn't put in a lot that I have to worry about, you see, and that's one of the reasons why it went smoothly. Well, as long as I was talking about announcements, and since we have no resolution to take up the vote of funds, I do have a note. Our grand secretary, and she like to talk too, and make it up.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Would you like to make it for the mic?
Probably that's better. Maybe some of our hard.
Thank you.
I would like to make an announcement for all those who came on the charter flight from Fairbanks to Seward. Those who are not going back on this charter flight tomorrow morning, which leaves at 7:30 or as close to their aisle as possible, to be sure and register with me or here at the desk after this meeting so we'll know those who are not going back to Fairbanks on a charter flight. I understand there are some that do not intend to go back and are going to Anchorage. So those, again, please register with me or here at the desk. Those who are not going back, the plane will leave at 7:30. We hope.
Thank you.
Does anyone else wish to make an announcement?
That was just you didn't give me a note. It was just the announcement.
Please.
You know more about it than I do. Would you mind coming up, Sam? Thank you.
Brothers and sisters, the majority of the Pet Can group are going to get a special bus to take us into Anchorage. As I understand, they're going to take a 40-passenger bus, so anybody wishing to go with the group tomorrow should be ready in front of the hotel at 8:30, and we will eat at the roadhouse out of town. That'll give you plenty of time to sleep, to wash up, and then board the bus.
What do you mean, eat? Breakfast or lunch? No. Breakfast. Oh. Now, he says breakfast.
Charlie, you have an announcement?
I do. Oh, sure.
We have plenty of time.
I would like to make a very short announcement. Delegation members have been very prompt on all the previous occasions in doing this. The banquet tonight is marked at 7 o'clock, and the committee would be very happy if everybody would arrive at 7 o'clock. So we have a plan. The caterer is also planning on 7 o'clock. And not to be drifting in at 7:30 or a quarter to 8. Thank you.
Well, I don't know about that.
Charlie, I'll be there.
Government today. because in writing to the Civil Service Commission to find out what I would have in retirement, I put the question, would I benefit from going back into federal service? And I was shocked and amazed to learn if I went back for 1 year, so I would qualify for amendments to the Retirement Act that were not retroactive, I would increase my retirement by $52 a month, so I'm back in the government payroll. So there are many things that are available for others. Thank you so much.
Pass up the resolution. That's it, why me?
Well, that's fine. That's something else to probably argue about next year.
Anything else on the good of the order?
Part of the room now, all of those are to be installed. Brother Gore, will you please stand? Brother Grand President, I present to you at this time the button, which is the emblem of your office as past Grand President, and this certificate, which is a recognition of the service which you have rendered the Grand Pioneers of Alaska. The certificate is additional evidence of your service, and I now declare you entitled to all of the honors, privileges of past Grand President, Pioneers of Alaska. Will you please be seated here? Grand Secretary, will you please call the name of the Grand President-elect?
Brother Carl Rothschild.
Brother Pioneer Rothschild, you have been chosen to fill the highest office and the gift of this grand group of the Pioneers of Alaska. Upon you will depend to a great extent the success of our order during the coming year. Your powers and duties are fully explained in Article 4, Section 1 of the Constitution. Will you please be seated? Grand Secretary, will you please call the names of the first and second Vice Presidents elect?
Brothers James Jorgensen, Edward Sweeney.
Brother Pioneers, you have been chosen as the first and second Vice Presidents of this Grand Eagle, Pioneers of Alaska. Because of the confidence which its members have in you and their belief in your ability to fill the office of President should it become necessary for you to do so. Your duties are defined in Article 4, Sections 2 and 3 of the Constitution. Will you please be seated? Secretary, will you call the name of the Grand Chaplain elect?
Brother Saul Urey.
Brother Urey, you have been chosen by the Grand Igloo of the Pioneers to represent our organization and to remind us of those principles of religion and morality without which all human institutions are vain. Your opportunities for a wholesome and elevating influence will be many. Will you please be seated? Secretary, will you call the name of the Grand Secretary-elect?
Sister Theo McKenna.
Sister McKenna, it will be your duty to record the proceedings of the Grand Igloo and conduct all correspondence of the office. Your duties are defined in Article 4, Section 5 of the Constitution. Will you please be seated? The Grand Treasurer-elect is not here today, and he will be installed at Juneau at the next meeting of Igloo number 6. Secretary, will you call the name of the Grand Recorder elect?
Sister Linda Schaefer.
Sister Schaefer, it will be the duty of the subordinate igloos and auxiliaries to have all applications for memberships therein made in duplicate. When the applicant has been elected and initiated, the duplicate shall be forwarded to your office. These duplicates you will file, and at the expiration of your term of office, you will surrender said files to your successor in office. Will you please be seated? Secretary, will you call the name of the Grand Sergeant of Arms elect?
Brother Sam Young.
Brother Young, it will be your duty
to prove all of those present when the grand igloo is open, preserve order, convey all summons that may be issued, and at all times to obey the command of the grand president. Will you please be seated? Secretary, will you call the name of the grand trustee elect for a 3-year term who is present for installation at this time?
Brother W.F. Shellhorn.
Brother Shellhorn, you have been elected as grand trustee, and your duties are defined in Article 4, Section 7 of the Constitution. Will you please be seated? Officers and members of the Grand Igloo, Pioneers of Alaska, I congratulate you upon your choice of officers for the ensuing term. The acting Grand Chaplain will now administer the obligation. Divine blessing.
Almighty and everlasting God, we come to beseech thee to bless the work in which we have been engaged. Preserve, O heavenly Father, this order by your glory. which we are members, aid us in the work to which we are pledged, and give direction and success to our efforts. Bless and pray the brothers and sisters who have been chosen as officers of this grand union. Direct us, O Lord, in all our conduct as thy most gracious favor, that all our work begun, continued, and ended in thee, we may glorify thy holy name. And finally, by thy mercy, obtain ever blessing.
By virtue of the authority vested in me as installing officer, I declare the officers of the Grand Igloo, Pioneers of Alaska, duly and legally installed. Brother Lotsfeld, you are now placed in full charge of the Grand Igloo, Pioneers of Alaska. This gavel represents your authority, and may success and harmony attend your term as Grand President.
Thank you, Brother DeArmond, and I wish to thank the remainder of the installing officers.
Seward, Alaska, October 16, 1960. Here I am, sitting in my hotel room at the Rainbow, on this bright sunny morning, writing my first speech. Little did I dream, when I arrived for the first time in Western Alaska, on October 18, 1922, nearly 38 years ago to the date, at the very same hotel then called the Van Gilder, that I would become a pioneer, and then in this very same town be elected to the highest office in the Pioneers of Alaska. Nor did I realize when Ed Sweeney and I were young bucks in the fire hall in Juneau that we would be Grand Lodge officers in the same church. Brothers and sisters, we'll forget the dreaming and come back to the reality. I am profoundly grateful for this most singular honor that you have bestowed upon me. I do not have the word part to thank you, those of you that have made this great honor possible. There will always be a soft spot in my heart for sure, account of this most eventful day of my life. And before getting on with the regular closing order of business, I would like to thank Auxiliary Number 9 and Igloo Number 9 of Seward for their most wonderful job of this arranging for this convention. I could pray possibly individual members, but this, the way it was carried off, it could only be done by everyone in this small organization to carry it off so successfully. And I hope that when we have the convention in Anchorage next year, we can do halfway as good a job, and I'll be satisfied. Our late past Grand President Art Luttrell always stressed the increasing of membership.
and felt that every eligible pioneer should become a pioneer. So therefore, I direct our Grand Secretary to write all igloos and auxiliaries to have at one of their meetings in March 1961 an art loop road class. And I hope that all the auxiliaries and igloos will get behind it and we'll increase our membership. There were several directives that I had through ballot, and the first was a third member to the Ketchikan Committee revising the Constitution and bylaws. New issues of the Igloo and Auxiliary Rituals. I have appointed to take the place of our junior past grand president, Lester Gore. I'm appointing Sam Young, secretary of the Igloo number 16 of Ketchikan. And I hope, Brother Lester, that you will continue to advise and help them in this job that they have for the coming year.
I will do so.
I have been directed to appoint an assistant to the Grand Historian at the request of past Grand President Otto Kaufman and other members of the Cordova Igloo. I'm appointing Al Johnson of Igloo number 15 of Anchorage. Brother Al has he's gathered more books, more pamphlets on the Alaskan catalog than I believe any other individual. He is also writing a book on the life of George Carmack, the discoverer of gold in the Klondike. And he's a member of the Cook Inlet Historical Society, and I'm sure that he will get lots of help from Brother Flackney in this undertaking. And we will see that all of these records are put in fireproof filing cabinets or safes, so they'll be taken care of until the time we can get them to the University of Alaska. I also have been directed to make an appointment of an Igloo 6 of Juneau member to put the pressure on the Juneau Coal Storage, I believe that we have a bond with, to put the pressure on them to get our interest or, I don't know, back due payments. And on that, I will appoint second Grand Vice President this week. There's also a directive, the appointment of a committee of trustees to collect monies of the property of defunct Igloos or auxiliaries. That was resolution number one to be included in the Constitution and bylaws. On this committee, as at the present time, I think the Wiseman, the defunct Wiseman Igloo has the most money. I will appoint Frank Young of
senior
of Igloo number 4 of Fairbanks as chairman, and the two other trustees attending this convention will also be on that committee. That is Robert Korn, Cordova, and
Frank Shellhorn of Vancouver. I've also been authorized or directed to appoint a committee to look into the feasibility of a new pioneer's home that will be operated by the pioneers of Alaska. On this committee, I appointed one from Juneau that maybe will have more access to the cost of operation of one of these homes. And I'm appointing Ed Sweeney as chairman of this committee, Bob Korn, the trustee, and Wayne Irwin of Stewart Igloo number 9. I believe that
is there any other directors? I got a lot of them from the preceding grand president. Have I overlooked anything, Brother Lester?
I don't think so, Carl. If you do, I'll tell you about it.
Presentation to make or to hang a badge on
yes,
me or
Madam
something?
President, Carl, as much as I dislike to give up this Grand President's badge, I am forced to under the rules of our order. And I think it gives me a great pleasure to pin this upon you.
I also consider it a very great honor and thank you.
And you have my wishes for success at all times.
Before proceeding to close the 44th Annual Convention of the Grand Eagles, I would like to make just one announcement.
After the close, there's several photographers here that would like to get pictures of the Grand Lodge of Art. If there's no further business to come before the Grand Convention, I will proceed to close. Brother Pioneers, we are about to close our Grand Convention. Remember the principles of courage, industry, and kindness. Let us go forth to practice them. Forget all differences that may have arisen during this session and seek to strengthen the bonds of brotherhood that should unite all mankind. Our chaplain will give the closing prayer. Sergeant at Arms, will you give the ritual to the
Thank you.